Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Ne'emah Jewish Community Chorus will perform their 25th anniversary concert this Sunday, June 11th at 7 p.m. at the Masry Center for the Arts at the College of St. Rose in Albany, New York. This year's concert is entitled Sterling Sounds, and the special guest will be Cantor Meyer Finkelstein. Born in Israel, the son of late Cantor Zvi Finkelstein, Meyer showed outstanding musical abilities and at an early age began accompanying his father and older brother at services. The family moved to London, and at the age of 14, Meyer became the youngest cantor in Europe. In 1982, he became the cantor of Sinai Temple in Los Angeles, California, where he served for 18 years. He's composed over 150 settings for the liturgy and has written music for film, television, and concerts. He also produces and arranges music for recordings and live performance. He's currently the cantor at Congregation Beth Yeshurun in Houston, and he joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Let's begin with, if you don't mind, kind of a brief history, an overview of how you came to this calling. It ran in your family.
It certainly did. Yes, my father was a cantor. My older brother is a cantor. And we sang with our father at services when we were little boys. And when we got to be teenagers, we actually became cantors ourselves, my brother and I. So I have been doing this, believe it or not, for 50 years. I just celebrated 50 years as a cantor.
Yeah, you became a cantor at 14, which made you, at the time, the youngest cantor in Europe. How, as such a young person, were you so certain? How did this appeal to you so solidly that this would become your life at such a young age?
Well, if you could imagine a family of acrobats in the circus. And the children get trained very early on. And by the time they're teenagers, they actually can be part of the act. And it's not too different when you're raised as a cantor's son. And right after my bar mitzvah, my father took me into the room and he said, I'm going to teach you how to conduct services for the high holidays and all the festivals. And he did that. It took 6 months, and by the time I was done, I was able to lead services. And luckily, there was a very small synagogue, not very far from our home, who were looking for a cantor for the high holidays. I applied, and I got the job. That's all she wrote, as they say.
Was your father proud of you?
Oh, I believe so. I hope he was.
I'm sure he was. Yeah. You have composed over 150 settings for the liturgy. How do you, when the tradition is as old and resonant and solid as it is, how do you approach scripture and the music and create new pieces?
That's a very complicated question. Generally speaking, everything evolves. I mean, our music has evolved. I mean, we don't, culturally, we just don't go around listening to Mozart the whole day.
Of course.
So things have definitely evolved musically, and they have evolved with the liturgical music in the synagogue, too. So it's probably starting in the late 19th century, Jewish music in the synagogue became a lot more westernized. And a lot of the composers that we still actually using today were the German Jewish composers of the late 19th century who had gone to music schools, had degrees, and were very familiar with Western music. So it sounds a lot like Mendelssohn and Schubert and Schumann, a lot of that music. Now, when it gets to my era, which is the 60s, 70s, and 80s, by then, it had become a lot more popular, and it was mirroring the music of the day. For instance, so we had a lot of folk music being introduced, at services, and it was a lot more easy for the new generation of young listeners who weren't attuned to cantorial music. So I came along, and I had a musical background in classical, jazz, pop, and I applied all of those different styles to setting these prayers to music. So that's how I did what I did, and it's actually a product of its era.
Another aspect of your career has been composing and arranging music for television shows and films. How did that happen, and what kind of creative satisfaction did you gain from that?
That happened when I was in Los Angeles. I was at a temple called Sinai Temple in Westwood in Los Angeles, and we had a lot of members of the congregation who were involved in Hollywood, either actors, directors, musicians, and I always had this urge to write film music, even while I was being a cantor. And I somehow got a break. I met some people and started writing music for Lorimar Productions. People will recognize Dallas Falconcrest.
Mm-hmm.
And did some movies of the week. And then through some strange coincidences, I managed to meet someone who knew Steven Spielberg. And he was just finishing a documentary on the Holocaust, and he found out that my father was a survivor of the Holocaust. I was a composer, and I got very lucky and managed to score this documentary. It was called Survivors of the Shoah, and it was aired on Fox TV. So that's how I got into Hollywood music.
How closely do you work with the filmmakers or other creative people when you write music for their pieces, for their art?
Very, very closely. And they're extremely involved in the whole process. And it becomes very, very complicated sometimes, because sometimes the composer has different ideas of where he thinks the music would fit. And it's strange, because you have a creative person in the arts next to a creative person who knows how to edit, but sometimes they don't go together, because he sees just like a wall of music that he'd like for a minute 30 seconds, and when you look at it artistically, you think it doesn't work. But in the final analysis, you work together, and this is how you get to the product that you see today.
You've also written a Passover Seder rock musical entitled Matzah Do About Nothing. Tell me about that.
Matzah Do About Nothing. Yeah, this I actually wrote for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, we have very traditional songs that are sung every year at the Seder. And I got bored with them, and I thought, you know, maybe we need to modernize them a little bit. So I decided to set these very, very famous songs to rock music. And in fact, when I first performed it, I had a jazz band, I guess, an 18-piece jazz band, and a 60-voice children's choir, and we had some skits in between. It was almost like a Saturday Night Live of a Seder. And in fact, I just finished doing a performance here at my synagogue here in Houston. It's the first time that they were exposed to it, and they seem to have enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun for the kids.
In addition to performing and composing and being an active cantor, you also mentor young cantors. Why
Yes.
is that important, and how does that fulfill a part of your life?
Well, that's extremely important, because unfortunately, it's a style of singing, especially cantorial singing, that is dying out. And it's important for me that if I find some young people who are interested in learning the craft and the traditions, to pass them along. It gives me a lot of pleasure to see that, and I'm actually working with quite a few young, very promising singers who would like to be cantors, and are very moved by this whole tradition. Very unusual for young people to feel that way today. So that actually gives me a lot of satisfaction.
Does the mentoring involve a vocal training specifically?
It includes vocal training. In fact, I won't work with a young person unless they are concurrently working with someone vocally, either with me or with a singing coach, because the two have to go hand in hand. In the same way, when I was studying to be a cantor, of course, it was in the family, but as I got older, I went to the Royal College of Music in London, and I studied opera and voice, and I always took it very seriously, because you have to perfect your craft in order to express the art form.
I have this opportunity to speak with you because you are coming to the region to perform with Ne'ima at their 25th anniversary concert, the concert entitled Sterling Sounds. Tell us a little bit about what you'll be performing with Ne'ima.
I'll be performing 30 to 40 minutes of a varied program, which will include opera, Broadway, a little bit of very light cantorial, and also some original pieces. But more importantly, the Ne'ima chorus has been singing quite a few of my compositions over the years, and they have asked me if I would perform those pieces particularly with them. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Cantor Meyer Finkelstein, thank you so much for your time, and have a wonderful visit to Albany when you perform with Ne'ima. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Cantor Meyer Finkelstein will join the Ne'ima Jewish Community Chorus for their 25th anniversary concert, Sterling Sounds, this Sunday, June 11th at 7 p.m. at the Massery Center for the Arts at the College of St. Rose in Albany, New York. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.